then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. Base of our thinking coming from the fourth verse. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. Amen. Supporting scripture, Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Amen. The base of those verses this morning, we like to speak from the thought or the subject. When you talk about change, it is what it is. When you talk about change, it is what it is. At this hour of the day, we ought to be awake. We ought to be ready to lift up the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It is not by any of our merits that we are here. And we don't have anything to boast about. We can't brag about where we are or where we've been. We just have to thank God for the experiences that we have had in life. Life is a beautiful thing. And every day, somebody is so down and out. Somebody is so discouraged. Someone is so troubled that they feel like I cannot make it in this life. And they take their lives. Why would you take something that you're not able to give back? Even as I speak now, we are living, but yet somebody is on their dying bed. And we might not be per se on our dying bed, but we are walking now through the valley of the shadow of death. And it's only the believers that have a mind to know that even though I walk through the valley, I won't have any fear. Why? Because I know that the Lord walks with me, watches over me. He upholds me. He takes care of me. Isn't it good to know you got somebody that is able, and not only able, but willing? You know, you got some folk that are able to take care of you, but they're not willing. You got some folk that could do something for you to help you along the way, but they are not willing. But isn't it a good thing when you serve a God that is always willing? Tells us that I'm not that far away. We got to understand that Jesus the Christ, he is right here this morning. As we've listened to our children sing the songs of Zion, and they witnessed through reading the word, God's word, and we thank God for how he continues to bless them as young people. But here on the third Sunday of January, pressing forth, praising and glorifying God for the things that he is yet still doing in our lives. And I believe that it would be very befitting this morning for somebody to sing, "Look where he brought me / us from." Because not only has he brought me, but he has brought us a mighty long way. You might not even really know the words to the song, but if somebody was to tell you just those few words there, "Look where he brought me from." For it's no doubt that we have come a mighty long way. Think about it. Even right here in Lexington, even at my age, and I don't consider myself old, but I'm not as young as I used to be. And thank God that I'm yet still alive. And I'm praying and trusting that God would let me allow me to be around long enough to consider myself old. But I'm old enough to remember when. And I was amazed because I was talking to a very dear friend of mine. And we are such good friends that I failed to realize that I was enough there's enough space between our ages where he did not remember when. And we were talking about, of course, eating. And I had shared with him that I had went to a place that we call in Lexington Southern Lunch. And I said that as I went to Southern Lunch, I can't help but to remember the days when we had our side and they had their side. And he said, what you talking about? I said, our side was more or less just a little sort of a bar with some stews just right around to the corner, right on the back side of the kitchen. And not only that particular establishment, but there are, as much as we like barbecue, all of the barbecue places we knew, they had their side and we had our side. But he wasn't quite old enough to remember the days when we were segregated and separated in a way to where we wasn't even welcome to sit down one with another. So that let me be appreciative of the fact that I could share just a little bit of history with him. That's something that I didn't necessarily hear about, but I know it for myself. We have children here that will never experience that part of it, but they do have to experience, even in this day and time, in the year of our Lord 2009, we are still yet discriminated against just because of the color of our skin. So I say again, we could all sing, "Look where he brought me from." Then I began to wonder, as I tried to put this together, I thought about the last couple of hours of 2008 as we worshiped together here at Watch Night Service. And we sought out God's blessings and guidance into the year 2009 to experience a new beginning, to experience a chance to change some things, to do things in a different manner. But let us not forget what that service really meant in that time of history. Why it meant so much to us as a people this morning. Watch Night Service dates back to a gathering on December the 31st, 1862, also known as Freedom's Eve. On that night, blacks gathered in churches and houses all across the nation awaiting the news that the Emancipation Proclamation may become law. And so that at the strike of midnight, January the 1st, 1863, all slaves in the Confederate state were declared free. They were watching and they were waiting to that particular moment when the law would make a change in the land, that now, not because I'm black and I'm slave, but now because of this decree, I have been made free. It meant something to us as a people, and we continued the legacy of on New Year's Eve coming together, and we lost track of the real reason why Watch Night Service was brought about. It was brought about because we were tired of being bound. We were tired of being slaves. We were looking for that day when we would be free, free at last. And we began to remember what our saints and our ancestors began to see. I believe that they began to get up out the graves and say, "I thank God that I didn't die in vain." You see, we sit around because we are blessed, as poor as we are, and as much hell as you might be going through, you are a blessed people this morning. And many people have died that we would have the right to go to any church house that we want to go to, that we can pick up a book and read anything that we want to read. And you tell me we don't have a reason to praise him. When we talk about change, it is what it is. Think about it. Think about it. If we were friends with any of our Caucasian churches or other denominations, then they might not have Watch Night Service because it doesn't mean anything to them. But to us as a people, let us not forget where we come from. You can't get where you're trying to go unless you remember where you come from. You got to remember the struggle that have already gone on before you. You might say that I'm struggling now, but you're just doing your part. There are a whole lot of folk that suffered a lot more than what you have. And even today in our changing society, as people are still discriminated against and hated because of the color of their skin. Many have sacrificed their lives and suffered many things that we would enjoy and share the freedoms that we have on today. 3 days ago, marked what would have been the 80th birthday of one of the greatest men of our time. Martin Luther King Jr., born in 1929, was assassinated April the 4th, 1968, at the age of 39 years old. How many of us in here have passed by 39 years old? How many of us remember that there's somebody that died that we would have a right to go in with any denomination of people, any color, any character, and know that we are yet still somebody? When we sit here in this church and say that everybody is somebody, let us not forget the people that labored and died so that we can declare that we are somebody. This great man that I'm talking about, Martin Luther King Jr., whom we celebrate this weekend, in 1955, it is said that he led the Montgomery bus boycott. In 1957, he became the first president of the Southern Leadership Conference. In 1963, he marched on Washington, delivered what we know to be the great "I Have a Dream" speech. He don't have to dream anymore. The dream is beginning to come to a reality. In 1964, he was the youngest person ever to receive the Nobel Peace Prize. In 1986, Martin Luther King Jr. was established as a United States holiday. Dr. King was a man that stood for change in a nonviolent manner. Had faith in God. He was a Baptist minister that loved the Lord and knew that in all things he could trust in God. Now there might be somebody that said that if he loved God so much, why did God allow him to die? Well, I can't answer that for you this morning, but I know that his dying was not in vain. I know that he left a legacy that we all got something to be proud about. I know that as we celebrated at the Freedom Fund banquet on last night, and the man of God told us that even in this day, we still got to go forward. We cannot continue to sit back on the stool of do nothing and wallowing around in self-pity and acting like we don't have a brain of our own. We got to understand that Dr. King didn't die for us to sit down and do nothing. But he died that somebody may say that I am a child of God. He died that he said that my children can walk around with white children and know that they are somebody. The thing that Dr. Martin Luther King died for is coming into reality right before our eyes. In a couple of days, the vision of that reality, we are going to move forward. For as a nation, we have voted in and accepted an African American as president-elect for the United States of America. Based on his intellect and his character, not on his skin. And I thank God that on Tuesday when Barack Obama takes the oath and is inaugurated as the president of the United States of America. I thank God because he declared a change has come to America. And I stop by to tell Foul Chapel this morning that when change comes, it is what it is. Oh, glory. Glory. We alone do for change. Oh, I feel good right now. Change. Change means to make a difference. Change means to give things a different direction or a different course. Change means to replace one with another. How many of you, I don't have to ask that question. All of us were tired of Bush. But how many of you are glad that we're ready for a change? How many of you are going to get up on your stool and begin to get ready to work for the Lord our God? It's time to change your mentality and your way of thinking. Stop thinking that you can't make it just because of the color of your skin. Stop talking about that the white people are holding you down and get the shackles off yourself. You're never going to be nobody unless you know it within your own heart. I am a child of God. And the Bible tells me this morning that there's a time and a season for all things. It was time for a change. And I don't care who like it. God is going to do what God got to do. Glory. Deacon, I don't know how in the world I'm going to preach two messages in one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not even a politician. I done got caught up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I thank God for the changes. I thank God for knowing that the Lord will make a way. And I just got to say a little bit about Joshua. Joshua realized that there got to be a change. We've been running around in the wilderness for way too long. We're right here at the River Jordan. And it's time to go over across. But I realize that when I get over on the other side in the land of Canaan, there's going to be some changes made. And I don't know whether you're ready for change or not. Some folk can't handle change. Some folk want to keep things like it used to be. Some folk are so traditionalized that they can't accept change. But change is going to come whether you want it to or not. And when change comes, it is what it is. I stopped by to tell somebody that I know a man by the name of Joshua. They realized that I got a journey on my hand. But before he went out to battle, he sent two men over on the other side. Said, go check it out for me. Come back and let me know what I'm up against. When they got back and they gave him the report, Joshua said, it's time for us to get ready to go. You better clean yourself, sanctify yourself. Get ready. Because on tomorrow, the Lord is going to do a great thing. On tomorrow, the Lord is going to make us free. I realize right now that there's a river by the name of Jordan raging and overwhelming over the banks. I don't know how I'm going to get the people across the river, but I heard the voice of the Lord say that you got to trust the power of God. The Bible says that Joshua, when he got there by the side of the river, he told the men and the officers, go out to the host of them. Tell all of my people to get ready. For when they see the Ark of the Covenant and the Levites, the priests carrying the Ark, when you see them coming forth, it's time to make your move. Get up from where you are. Follow the Ark of the Covenant. For those of you that might not know, the Ark of the Covenant was one of those signs that Jesus, God the Christ, God was right there in their presence. He said, if the presence of God is here, everything is going to be all right. The Bible says they were there around the riverbank. And all of a sudden, Joshua began to talk to them. He said, I got to give you some instructions. You heard that when I told you that when you come out, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, for everybody to begin to move. But he had some more instructions. He said, Levites, you priests of mine, when you pick up the Ark of the Covenant, I want you to be mindful to go out in the front. Now the Bible says that you got to leave so much space. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you round it up, it's about 3,000 feet. Keep it about 3,000 feet ahead of you and go and cross over the Jordan. Think about it. Here we are at the Jordan River. The river is beginning to overflow. But they heard what the man of God said. Joshua said, come and hear what the Lord said. The Lord said, when you get out there and you get there with the Ark of the Covenant, step in the brinks of the river. And when you put your feet in the river, I want you to be still. See, every now and then, you better learn how to be still and let God be God. Close your mouth. Let God work it out. if while you're trying to figure it out, God has already worked it out. Joshua had been trying to figure it out, but God had already worked it out. So what Joshua tells me to tell you is to be obedient to what God said. God said, when you get there in the water, be still. Hold the ark there. And your people of God will cross over on dry land. I want to tell somebody that when change comes, it is what it is. Change have come to the country, and it is what it is. Joshua realized, I got to be obedient. I got to do what God told me to do. I got to tell everybody that time is winding out. Time for us to get our houses in order. Anybody want to sanctify themselves? Anybody want to get ready to go? It's time to get ready to go. There's a change. There's a change in the land. There's a new man moving in the White House. There's a new man holding up the bloodstained banner. And it's time for you to make a change. Now let me tell you something about that change. When things begin to change, it don't happen overnight. It's not going to all come together. So don't try to push them up against the wall and say, I thought you was going to do this. And I thought you was going to do that. When you change things, you got to plant the seed. Then give God time to come and nurture the seed. And in God's own time, change, change is coming to America. I'm glad that I am an American. I'm glad that I'm a black man that know about the struggle. But the struggle is not over. Just because we're going to the White House, we got to pray. This man strengthened the Lord. You know the devil is mad. And he got all kind of enemies after him. But you know I see Jesus right now. I see him whispering in Obama's ear right now. Saying, let me tell you something, Obama. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to hide you in my pavilion. You're in my hand. And I decided that it was time for a change. And I opened up the hearts and the mind of all nationalities to let them not be worried about your skin, but look at your mind and what you've done in your life. A young man that's going to carry us through. A change has come to America. And it is what it is. Do you love your president? Hallelujah, Jesus. Let me tell you something. For those of you that are politically inclined, you love him all you want to, but you better put Jesus first. You didn't hear what I said. Don't get so wrapped up in Obama that you forget who Jesus is. Because he can't do nothing without the power of God. Did not you see where they were even trying to take out in the oath? Trying to take God out the oath. He can't do it unless it's God's will. Hallelujah, Jesus. When change comes, it is what it is. Whether you like it or not, it is what it is. Hallelujah, Jesus. Anybody feeling what I'm feeling? Anybody glad about the change? Anybody know that that change is going to help you? Anybody got your hope back? Anybody had their head dug in the sand? It's time to lift up your hands, all ye gates, and let the King of glory, let him come on in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Somebody said, you going to Washington? No, I ain't going. Hallelujah. But I tell you what, I got some prayers I can send that way. And then I got to thinking about it. I said, you know, I didn't even try to go. I don't like that bigger crowd, no way. But you know what? I need to be with the president on Tuesday. So I looked, I said, I got a vacation day. Put in for it. So you can lay back and enjoy the day of change. So Tuesday, don't bother me. I'm not working, but I don't want to be bothered unless it's an extreme emergency. And unless you're about to die, I can't give you your life back. But there's a change coming to America. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It is what it is. It is what it is. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Talking about change. Sometimes change can be a good thing. Hallelujah. But you know the key to the change for Joshua, hallelujah, Jesus. Even the changes for Obama comes through it by obedience to the will of God. When you're obedient and do what God say do, you can't be clouded and lose your focus by naysayers. All of us that are saying, I never thought, stop thinking, never thought, and say, it's here. It's done happened. Hallelujah, Jesus. What a day, what a day. In the country of the United States of America, where it's becoming a reality that one day we all shall be as one. It doesn't matter this morning. You know, sometimes we feel like, oh, I've been saved a long time. And I do this and I do that and I make all kind of sacrifices. But don't you know we are there to help one another? Every sacrifice that you made, it has been to help somebody else. First of all, you help yourself. But let us think about it. Had not great men and women had faith in their God, we for 40 years have been remembering a great man. But the key to that man was his faith in God. Now when you take what those that have gone before us, their accomplishments, and all the things that they have achieved, what we have to do is put ourselves parallel to them and realize that if we can't do the same thing, at least we can be supportive of the right thing. And the right thing is to follow Christ, to let Him lead and direct our paths. Be ready and be mindful that changes are going to come. You see it every day. You watched it through your children, your grandchildren. They change. And then to bring it home, when we talk about change, it is what it is. What is it? Something different. Something different has happened in the land. Will we be a part of this great change? Will we be the brothers and sisters of Christ? Will we be the citizens that the president needs us to be? Will he be able, if he was to send a command out like Joshua and say, officers, go and tell all of the people that it's time to sanctify yourselves because it's time for us to overtake the land. Do know that the land is not going to be easy to take because there are many nationalities that are already there. But because I am God, I have the power to let you overpower them. Even though you are outnumbered, I'm God and I got all power. With the power of God, we can do great things. Let us accept change in an humble way. And if we don't understand, that's a good time to pray for understanding. Lord, help me to understand the changes that are coming in our lives. Is there one this morning?